step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, Connie, the two-toned kitty cat, with you. I'm going to make it stick, Connor. Connie, the two-toned kitty cat.
Was hoping it wouldn't make it out of the weekend. But
well, I will tell you this. You can blame Parker Kelly, because if not for Parker, I wouldn't have known about it. Because when he sent the rundown from Next Man Up last week, he made a note for me about your nickname. He said, you might want to look out for this, Adam. So I went back and I listened to find Connie the two-toned kitty cat. So you can blame Parker for this next time you see him.
I just call you Connie Two-Tone.
That's even worse.
No,
somehow.
Like
now,
675309.
I was about to say, is Connie
two-tone
related to Tommy, to Tommy?
Yeah, could be. His brother.
Or Jenny. That sounds like some like early 80s.
Exactly.
You're warm.
Tommy Two-Tone, indeed. 8675309.
That's right.
There you go.
I got your number on the wall.
Oh, man. All right. So, speaking of Connie, he will be out at mandatory minicamp for the Tennessee Titans tomorrow and Wednesday. The last time we will see the Titans on the field until training camp in about a month and a half. And if you've been listening to our show or any of the shows on our station or consuming any Titans coverage over the past couple of weeks, you know that the number one story in Titans world is Cam Ward and his lackluster performance in open OTA practices, those that could be attended by reporters. And we talked a lot about it last week. We talked about his accuracy. We brought up the standard stats. We brought up the fancy stats. We've been doing a lot of, as I said last week, belly aching regarding Cam Ward's accuracy and his performance in practices. So as ridiculous as this question sounds, I do feel the need to ask it. And I want y'all's reaction, 615-737-1025. And again, as I read it, I'm thinking to myself, this is such a silly question. How much pressure is on Cam Ward at Titans mandatory minicamp this week? I feel like I can't recall a player being under this much pressure. Maybe it happened to Will Levis, I don't know. But considering what the conjecture is out there, Willie and Derek, I feel like Cam Ward needs to have the practices of his life tomorrow and Wednesday. So as silly as this sounds, how much pressure is on Cam Ward this week in practice?
Wow. I don't think there's no pressure.
I think there's some pressure.
I think it's just about him getting better. Him going out there and improving on the day before or improving on last week. Now he has more of his guys out there, the whole team, frankly, or should be. And maybe it's a little different with having those guys out there. And maybe the emphasis is a little bit different for Cam going into those few practices they're going to have this week. So I don't necessarily think there's any pressure on him. I think there's the scrutiny is always going to be there, especially with, you know, being with this franchise and trying to revitalize this franchise and him having a season that he had last year on top of, you know, there are some people that felt he just they should have passed on him and did some other things. So there's always going to be that there. But as far as like mini camp, no. I mean, There's no pressure whatsoever.
I think it would go under the category, and you tell me if you disagree, Adam, of noise. And so my question would be, internally, is he individually feeling any pressure? Are the coaches feeling any pressure of how it looks? Because it really shouldn't, because it is noise, right? It's, you know, that's why you practice in the off season. Is it doesn't count. It doesn't matter. You're working on stuff. The results shouldn't mean anything. It's all about the process. So do you think it's noise? Or do you think it's anything real? I think it's only noise, in my opinion.
I think it's mostly noise. But I do think there is merit to the concerns about his accuracy. Just because last season, we've gone through it. We've looked at the numbers. We talked about his completion percentage last week. With the help of Pro Football Focus, we broke it down even more into categories such as uncatchable and accurate and catchable and accurate. we've really run the gamut on it. I do think it's mostly noise, but the reason why I do think there is actually a little pressure on Cam Ward in these practices is because this is the last impression he is going to leave us with for what, 6 weeks? And if Cam Ward struggles the way he reportedly has struggled in OTA practices, it's going to reach a fever pitch between now and the start of training camp. Because, look, we've all got to fill time, right? We've got to talk about something. Mm-hmm. And that's going to keep coming up. So I do think there, like, I mostly agree with you, Willie. I do think it's mostly noise. But I do think there's a modicum, I think that's worthy of a bell.
Yeah.
A modicum of what's the word I'm looking for? I think there are some reasons for fans to be concerned.
No, there shouldn't be. Why?
Shouldn't there be reason?
There shouldn't be reason. Again, I'm just going to explain it like this. It's a new playbook, new players. He's adjusting. If we get into camp and he still have these same problems, or if they haven't gotten better, then yes, we can start that sort of windmill up. We can start it up, or that engine up. We can crank it a little bit. But right now, no. I am just telling you, nobody in that building, from players to GMs to coaches, nobody's worried about it. Nobody. Do they want him to get better? Absolutely. They want him to develop within his offense. Absolutely. But nobody's sitting here in the dark room panicking. Nobody. And if they are, they don't need to have that. They don't need to have that job.
I think that is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. If they are in that building and they're sitting there going, "Well, let's run some plays so Cam looks good, so the media and the fans don't get on our butt," then that's a mm-hmm. problem. That's counterproductive. Their sole focus should be, how do we get Cam better today, regardless of how the practice goes or what the results are. You're working on stuff. We had a saying. I feel like it's a historian, one of our founding fathers may have said this. I don't know. But there's an old saying that my coach used when he would send us off for the summer. He would say, there's going to come a point where winter is going to ask what you were doing all summer. You have the right, I think, as a player to work behind the scenes on your game without the scrutiny. That's what the off season is for, is you work on stuff that you're weak at. You work on your weaknesses. And in doing so, you're probably not going to look good every day. So you shouldn't be held to a standard in June. So I will stand by that. Even if he is awful this week, I'm not going to worry about it at all. I'm not going to blink at all. I will stay consistent if he struggles this week.
By the way,
it doesn't mean anything.
That quote, "The time will come when winter will ask you what you were doing all summer," attributed to Henry Clay.
Henry Clay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. So the Henry Clay.
The very same.
The great compromise.
So let me ask.
Me, a history major from the state of Kentucky.
Let me ask the two of you this question then. Because the both of you sound like you are not at all concerned at the moment. And his performance in practice tomorrow and Wednesday will have no bearing on your feelings as we await training camp later this summer. At what point will you begin to feel concerned if things don't get better?
For me, it's camp. And more importantly, it's once they start playing these, you know, other teams coming in.
That's exactly what I thought when I thought about this question. Yeah, joint practices.
Joint practices. Yeah,
if Cam Ward has some rough joint practices,
then there's like, okay.
You can't escape it at that point.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't escape it. Now, is he going to have – he's going to do some things in those joint practices, just like a game that, you know, hey, the defense played well or you read it wrong. But if it's the accuracy issue – if we're still having trouble with him completing balls or being accurate, or overthrowing balls, then yeah, that's when you need to start to be concerned about what's moving forward. But even if he doesn't complete a pass or two, I'm not worried about that, because whether it was a drop or, you know, whatnot, he's trying to throw it in the coverage. But if he's shown that he hasn't gotten better by then as far as his accuracy, because that's the whole thing with him, then yes, I think there is room for you to start critiquing and criticizing and wondering if he is getting better.
I will extend it this far. I expect there to be growing pains in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Rookie number one wide receiver, first splash into the league. You're trying to continue to develop your offensive line.
An unknown at center, specifically.
There are still question marks, even though they've made some strides there, and hopefully it won't be bad. New offensive coordinator, second-year quarterback. I just think if we think all of a sudden the light's going to go on and everything's great from the start, I think that's overly optimistic. I'm expecting there to be growing pains. I'm hoping, realistically, that by the end of the season, if they can keep it together, that it won't look like a gasoline fire anymore, that you're going to start to see the foundation of a good offense. That's reasonable to me. But I just, from what we've seen from Cam so far, I just think it's unrealistic that he's just going to have this magical leap and all of a sudden look good. He's growing slowly. It's going to be a process. It's going to take a while.
It may even take the full summer. I mean, not the full summer, but the full season.
It might.
And what I mean is, not that, you know, if he's still doing the same things that he was doing last year, if he's doing that to year two, you know, and at the end of the season, you look at him, it's like, okay. But what I'm saying is, you got to take into account, he's learning a new playbook. Even with the playbook that he had, it still took him half the season to get through that and to feel comfortable, and they had to change some things around it. So fast forward that the next following year, you got a whole new playbook. So even if you get into the season, it's going for him to master this thing the way I know he wants. It's going to take a full year. But he can play well within that.
Well,
but
in order to
master this, it's going to take him a full year.
Let me ask you a question, which may come off as a novice sort of question. Mm-hmm. How much of learning a new playbook plays into accuracy generally? Like,
it's the hesitation.
Okay.
A lot of times. That's just like just like me as a receiver. If I don't know the playbook the way I need to, I'm hesitating. I'm not sure about what I'm doing out there. That's why, you know, don't think. Just go. You shouldn't know the playbook so well that you ain't even got it. You hear the play, boom. You know, the minute you step out there on the line of scrimmage, you know what to do. Now you're just reading the defense. And if you know defenses, now you're just like, okay, I'm going. It's almost like you're on autopilot in a sense, because your body, it does it so many times and you know it so well. You know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So it does mean a lot, you know, when a guy knows that playbook like the back of his hand. That gives him the freedom to do a lot of other things. That gives him a freedom to possibly take chances too, because he's reading the defense in such a way and he knows how this play is going to work.
615-737-1025 again. As ridiculous as this question sounds, how much pressure is on Cam Ward at Titans mandatory minicamp this week? The story of OTAs has been his inaccuracy, and there is going to be an even harsher spotlight on Ward these next couple of days because of that. So how important is it for him to leave us feeling good about his progress before the Titans break up before training camp? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and continue the conversation coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Talking some Titans, mandatory minicamp this week. As ridiculous as this question sounds, how much pressure is on Cam Ward at minicamp this week? 615-737-1025. This is the last impression he can make for all of us until the Titans return for training camp late July. One texter says, please tell me this is not a long-term problem with the hurt shoulder. I am panicking. I have been afraid since he got hurt.
I don't even think this is about the hurt shoulder at all. They wouldn't have put him out there if they felt that, you know, he was still feeling some type of effects from the shoulder surgery. So I don't think this has anything to do with the shoulder surgery. He just needs to get better. And I think he will, you know, and I say that because I saw him the first half of last season and compared to the second half, in that, listen, he ain't set the world on fire, but he showed progress. He showed development. And I'm just expecting that to be the same case, you know, this season. And I know it may take some time because, again, he's not coming in with the same playbook that he had last year. But even with that, you know, I expect him to go out there and be better as these days, you know, go on with the other guys, not just this week, but when they come back for camp.
Dustin in Hopkinsville says, I'd purposely throw a puck on every throw. Tell us to STFU without saying a word. That's me, though. Something tells me Cam Ward is not doesn't really care about what we have to say, as you two have mentioned. But, I mean, again, the noise is out there. Scott in Waverly says, do you guys think maybe our defense is just that good under Robert Saleh to make Cam look bad? Well, here's the issue, Scott. I don't know how many of the Titans' defensive starters have been out there. For example, we have told y'all to pump the brakes on Carnell Tate when Carnell Tate was making one-handed grabs at OTAs. We've been quick to point out that Micah Robinson has been the defender guarding Carnell Tate on those plays. Not Cordell Flott, not Alante Taylor, Micah Robinson. So I don't think many of the projected starters, and someone who reports on the team can correct me, I don't think many of them have been on the field, which I think makes this look worse. Like Cam Ward is having accuracy issues playing against second teamers.
But that
third
goes into, like, and look, that's, you're under the microscope as the number one pick playing for the NFL team in this city. And all of the beat writers are doing their job. They're, mm-hmm. They know that there's interest and they're reporting what they're seeing. But I still think you have to separate that. I'm old enough to have grown up to where I didn't watch a single play of the off season of the teams I followed growing up. So it wasn't even something that I was reading about or looking at. Like, and ask yourself in the fantasy football, when you draft your fantasy football team, do you draft anyone based on how they did in the preseason or how they did in OTAs? I don't think so. Like spring training, I don't really take that into account unless there's an injury involved. So you have to put it in perspective. They're covering it, but I go back to, this is the workshop. This is when you work on your weaknesses. This is not about results at all. So I'm not going to read. I don't worry about whether he's struggling or not, no matter what the circumstance.
David says, if this continues, you have to question the shoulder. Well, do you?
No, because this was not one of his strong suits last year.
Accuracy,
yes.
No matter how you quantify it.
Yeah, it wasn't at the – we didn't sit here and say, man, listen, he just need more players because he's damn sure accurate. No, he's been off. So it has – I don't think it has anything to do with the shoulder. Now, if he complains about the shoulder moving forward, then okay, we got to reevaluate it. But I don't think it has anything to do with the shoulder. I just think he has to really take this time of the year to really work on. It's not about, you know, how fast can we get everything, 100%. It's about really working on those small things that are ultimately going to allow you to be better moving forward. That, accuracy is, it's not a small thing, but the mechanics to it, you know, how you throw certain routes, getting in repetition, throwing certain routes to certain guys, them going out and getting Carnell Tate. I will tell you this, at least when it comes to Carnell Tate, he will be a much better accurate passer throwing to a bigger body. He may have trouble when you're talking about throwing deep to a Wandale Robinson, a guy that's smaller. Now, when you're talking about the quick plays, he thrives in that. I think that's where he lands. But if you're trying to, if you're saying we need to get down the field more, then I'm not to say he's not going to be able to hit Wandale Robinson, but the it's going to be a little bit different than throwing to Carnell Tate.
Jerry says, too many built-in excuses. New system, new coach, new players. If you can't throw the ball straight, you can't throw the ball straight. Of course, I'm not an NFL player, but as someone who coached high-level travel softball, a player that can't throw the ball straight in practice can't throw the ball straight in the game, and timing does go along with it. If you have a catcher practicing throwdowns to second, she needs to know where that shortstop is going to be, but if your catcher can't throw the ball on the bag, then you're going to need a new catcher.
I respect that. Like, it's the process is important. Mm-hmm. The mechanics are important. But I think there's just a lot more going on with what Cam Ward is doing. He's absorbing his new personnel, the new coach, the new playbook, all of these things. And so I think that is affecting, that would be a factor, at least in my mind, of how he's throwing. But I do think it's important to know, is his shoulder feeling good? Are his mechanics affected by the process he went through to with the physical therapy? How's the footwork? As I know they're working on that as well as teaching him the new playbook. All this to say, this is another reason why I'm not worried about the results right now. He's still going through a lot with all of these variables that are out there. Like, if you just set up the drill of catcher throwing the ball down to second, whatever the equivalent of that is for a quarterback, to me that's a different drill than how is he doing in the live scrimmage part.
I look at it like this. Yes, the accuracy thing needs to get better. I get it. But here's the issue. When you're watching a game, and we've seen this plenty of times, especially with a new wide receiver come in or a new quarterback comes in, say the old quarterback, he got hurt or something, and you see a pass off, you say, man, he was just off. He doesn't have enough time with those guys, so he was off, you know, a little bit behind them, or the receiver just didn't get in. Well, he doesn't know the receiver quite well. So if you see that in the game with a guy that, yeah, he's gotten some repetition with these guys, but not in this setting, you don't tend to say that guy is inaccurate. He's not an accurate passer. What you say is, or at least what I hear a lot is, oh, he was a tad bit off. If it's a new wide receiver or a new quarterback coming into the game. That's how I look at Cam. These are new guys. He's still learning the guys that he was thrown to last year. And now he got to reacquaint himself with Calvin Ridley, and he has to get to know Wandale Robinson as well as Carnell Tate. He's going to be off because of that. Now, again, it's going to take repetition. That's why between now and really camp is going to be critical for him, meaning he's going to have to get time with these guys, as much time as humanly possible. And I've said this before. If Cam say, let's wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go throw footballs and catch them, let's do it. Because that time we're not getting. And that time is going to help us down the line. That means that now when we wasn't getting those extra, you know, 100 hours, we got them, and some. And that means a lot when you get in situations where you got to think on the run. A lot of that comes into play. How many times that I've thrown? The best rapport I had with anybody was Neil O'Donnell. That's the best. You know why? Because Neil O'Donnell and I, before I became a starter, and even after, he and I worked. We work constantly. Mac and I had that same thing, but it started with Neil because we worked at it every day in practice, him throwing it to me and him being on the second team. It worked a lot. And then once he finally got in the game, when Mac got hurt, he and I picked up. He would just say, go out there, it's just like practice. And bam, 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 bam. That's how it was. Go back and look at the film. Me and Neil had a rapport. He's going to have to, and Mac and I did too, but he's going to have to build that with all those guys now. And he doesn't have it right now.
I thought this was interesting analysis from our friend Nick Suss of the Tennessean, and I want your guys' opinion on it. He writes, quote, accuracy wasn't Ward's strong suit as a rookie. When he ranked 23rd among the 26 quarterbacks who started 10 or more games in on-target throw percentage, despite also ranking 21st in intended air yards per attempt. In other words, Ward wasn't particularly accurate in 2025, even while attempting easier than average throws. He continues, if Ward's more accurate in minicamp, great, but that's always been too broad a criticism. The real marker of growth is how Ward's, how Ward's accuracy improves as play difficulty increases. This means less of a focus in minicamp on down-to-down precision and more of a focus on ball placement on high leverage plays.
Yeah, because he was off a few times, well, more than a few times last year.
We talked a lot about his inaccuracy on deep passes.
Yes, and in particular, it was the corner routes.
Yes, if I recall correctly.
I thought he there was two corner routes I know that he threw to DK, and he was just off. And, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, is it the receiver or is it the quarterback? Well, he had problems doing it on that side as well as the left side, but it was more prominent on the right side. So those are things that he needs to work at. Once he start, if he can hit them more frequently, because those plays are going to be there. They're gonna design plays where they're open deep corners. He has to be able to do that with his eyes closed.
I love, like, Nick is really good in particular. I'm giving him a pat on the back. Mm-hmm. He's coming up with these angles of where the improvement needs to be, and I think that these are the questions mm-hmm. to me. But how you get from where he is to where he needs to be, I'm not worried about how it looks every day. If that makes sense. It's still the same thing to me. All of these things are great, and we're going to talk about these things, but I'm not going to stress, because I think anytime you're trying to get better at something, when it doesn't count, when the results don't matter, you have to be willing to take a step back for a period of time before you take the two or three steps forward, right? That's the whole point of practice and working away from the game.
Cam Ward last season, according to Pro Football Focus, on deep left passes. So passes that traveled at least 20 yards in the air down the left sideline. He was 7 of 20. Deep right, he was 8 of 22. So those were two areas we focused on a lot last season, that when he would take those deep shots, he missed more often than not. 615-737-1025. Again, our question, as ridiculous as it sounds, how much pressure is on Cam Ward at mandatory minicamp this week? Connor, you will be out at minicamp, correct?
Yes, not so, tomorrow, Wednesday.
Okay, so we'll get your practice report on Wednesday. We'll definitely have someone on the show tomorrow who will be at practice, I should say, tomorrow to get their report on what we saw or what we will see from Cam Ward. Tenses are hard. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. I feel like I'm in the club. Is this your doing, Derek Mason?
Oh, yeah. This is the FIFA World Cup theme. It's the album. So
okay.
I went with the album.
So we're getting the vibe of the
games. World Cup, yeah. Man. Come on now. They should
bring
Future was first. Y'all didn't see the, you know, when
yeah.
it came out for
I
the
thought that's what I, yeah. I felt the vibe. I didn't yeah. know that it was you, though. I thought it might be young Connor Newt.
I was like, huh.
That's my style.
Cutting edge.
Cutting edge. There we go.
I like that. Yeah. Who's up tomorrow with the music? Am I up tomorrow?
Adam tomorrow? Adam Vingan.
I'm up tomorrow.
And then me. And then you. So you'll have it Thursday.
Okay. I'll be prepared.
Maybe we'll be angsty tomorrow. I don't know.
You usually are.
Well, last week I wasn't angsty with my selections of music from Hampton Roads, Virginia.
Right.
Missy Elliott isn't angsty. Timbaland isn't angsty.
Fair.
Bruce Hornsby isn't angsty. But
definitely
you know,
not.
So Yes, it's a good vibe. It's a good vibe. As I said, the best part of the World Cup to me is just all of these people coming to our country, experiencing our culture, our gluttonous culture. That's mostly what it's been about. Europeans being like, wait, Americans eat all of this stuff? It's so great. But again, to me, the thing I've enjoyed the most, the Japanese fans who clean up after themselves. They all bring trash bags to the matches. And when the match is over, they pick up their garbage. It's
stunning.
It's incredible. I mean, we could learn something. We need to pick up after ourselves more often. But
I feel like I pick out for myself, but I would never bring a bag to collect. Like, I just grab the stuff and find a trash can, right? Yeah. They're bringing bags in there?
I believe they're bringing trash bags. I'm going to make sure.
Going the extra mile.
I'm going to make sure that I'm not telling fibs here on the radio. Yes, they bring their own trash bags.
That's good.
They're functional trash bags. Everyone brings them to cheer during and clean up after themselves after.
Wow. I think every football stadium should do that.
I mean,
provide the bags?
Yeah, just provide provide the bags or put the bag on the seat. And just when you're done, boom, throw it in the bag and leave it there. I think that'd be great.
I mean, Titans fans who are wearing paper bags over their heads after the game is over can take the paper bag off of their head.
I didn't go there.
Pick up the trash. So that's, as I've said, that's what I've enjoyed most about the World Cup. Just seeing everybody from abroad coming to America and experiencing our culture. But then, Derek, during a break, you shared a frightening story about something that like triggered something in me that hammers home the reason why I will never in my life go bungee jumping ever.
Yes. So there was this 21-year-old individual, female, and she was going bungee jumping, and they forgot, and you could see the guys picking her up and walking her to the cliff. It was like a plank. Just imagine a plank. Get on the plank. But they're walking through the plank, and they have this lady held up in the sky. There's three of them and then two. And no one noticed that there was no attachment to this young lady. And just casually, they just threw her over.
This was captured on social media, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm like,
I might have nightmares about this.
Like, how? Like, and I keep asking myself, like, how? Because
from so many angles.
Yes, because you see it from different angles. The person with the camera, how didn't you see?
Are you not screaming?
Exactly.
She's not attached to the rope.
Are you not? Because you see it. And then the third guy in the back, once you sort of release your grip, because there's two other people that have a grip on her, once you release your grip and step down, don't you see that there isn't a rope attached to her? That it's baffling.
And if you're going to go bungee jumping, which you know is dangerous to begin with.
Yes.
Aren't you, like, I won't do it. I'm not going to be bungee jumping anytime soon.
No.
But if I did, I would sure.
I would make sure that
I would
court
have my
was
thing
on me.
Double checking, triple checking, like double knot tight. Like,
goodness,
am I on this thing? I'm checking to make sure that rope is or the bungee is intact. Like, I need to know all of that before I have the confidence to do it. But what? Like, it's inexplicable how that happened.
It was,
and somebody's filming it.
And that's the part that I don't understand. That, somebody's filming it.
They're not noticing. You can see the rope right
exactly.
there. It's not anywhere close to her.
Oh, man. To even think about it more, it just makes me like, terrible. Oh, wow. So, yes.
The BBC says police are now investigating whether the men are culpable of homicide with eventual intent when someone does not have the direct intention but assumes the risk of killing.
Man, something.
Talk about litigious.
Something's fishy.
Lawyer up.
Something is fishy. Man, that's
terrible.
No, I have zero interest in bungee jumping. I have zero interest in skydiving. You've been skydiving, right,
Derek?
Yes,
I've been. I was on my bucket list, and I went for my son's 21st birthday.
Pass.
He wanted to go, too. So all three of us, my son, my daughter, we all jumped out of a plane, skydive. And it was fun.
I would skydive really before I bungee jumped.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, okay. I would. That's why I skydove first.
I mean, you did it, so obviously your answer is that.
Yes.
But
the past two shows, Derek has scared us into going on roller coasters and now bungee jumping.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's next?
We'll find out tomorrow. Now, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. We do have a caller on the line. Hawken has called in to discuss Japanese soccer based on how great I think it is that Japanese fans pick up after themselves. Hawken, if that is indeed your name, please go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, that's my name. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a tennis down here in Brentwood, and I've been here for like 35 years, but I'm originally from Sweden. But the first time I heard about the Japanese soccer players was that had the World Cup in the Middle East. I can't remember exactly where it was, but the fans, they bring these plastic bags, the spectators, and after the game, they clean up the entire stadium.
See, and that's fantastic.
I also heard the players... They clean up the locker room, they fold the towels, and they make these little figures out of paper. This, I think it's called origami.
Yes,
and,
origami.
And thank the organizers for organizing the World Cup for them, and they're extremely appreciative of the whole setup. And another thing was, I think last time they were in the Middle East, they banned beer sales 2 weeks before the game. And I believe there was 32 countries that participated, and 31 countries complained about the beer being out of reach for the spectators, and the Japanese were the only ones that didn't complain.
Like,
thank you for the call, Hawken.
We're here to play and watch soccer. We ain't here to drink beer.
I have developed a greater appreciation for Japanese culture since the World Cup started late last week.
They played a heck of a game, too, in Dallas with this – army of orange Dutch fans, and you know, the Netherlands, great tradition, they're really good. They fell behind twice. That was a really good game, 2-2. There's been some really good games. I am captivated by this. I'm all in.
Yeah, Willie's all in. We know you're not all in, Adam.
Spain's freaking out about tying Cape Verde today. That
still
I've
talking about
the talk shows in Spain. They're not happy. They're not happy.
Do they have Spanish sports talk radio?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
It's Telemundo.
There you go.
That is true.
I do have this question, though. Based on the very eye-opening performance by the U.S. on Friday.
16 million viewers.
Yes.
16 million viewers. And so in the spotlight, and they had struggled some going into the tournament, they look great. Does that bring an audience in? What will it be for the next game?
They play at 2 p.m. on Friday in Seattle against Australia.
Do you think that's going to, at least at the beginning of the game, the ratings may not be where they, but.
Yeah, 2 o'clock it might be.
Yeah, not prime time by any stretch.
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, it may pick up around 3 o'clock, 3, 4.
I'm curious, but I feel like there'll be a lot of hype going to that. If they win, that would almost assure them of moving to the next round, right?
Which was the expectation anyway, right?
Sure, sure. It's not about that anymore. It's can they ever make a deep run into deep into the tournament? I don't think they've ever made the final four, have they?
No.
I think the final eight is the highest they've ever gone.
That sounds right. If our resident soccer expert Nick Frazier is listening,
yes,
we will get a text message from Frazier. I mean, look, now that the NBA is done for this season and the NHL is done for the season, you know, for me, it's slim pickings out there.
Dive in. And take the angle you've taken. Just appreciate the
sport.
Environment.
Yes.
And the fans, the chanting, the nuttiness, the clash of all these people from all around the world coming in to enjoy it. It's a great event.
Did y'all see the duck walking down the street in Mexico wearing a Mexico soccer kit?
It was awesome.
I did not.
I didn't either.
An actual duck walking down the
and
street.
Who was the other person? The German guy? What's his name again?
Freddy.
I don't know about
that. Yeah,
Freddy.
You got to look up
Freddy and the duck.
Freddy discovered pins.
Freddy is not the duck.
I said Freddy and the duck.
Oh, Freddy and the duck. Sounds like a
band.
An 80s.
And the Japanese garbage collectors and the connoisseurs of unlimited chips and salsa,
yes.
The concept, and refills of your drink.
Yes.
They all sound like groups.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Freddy,
80s bands.
Freddie had Raisin Canes. Okay. I won't go much further because I don't want to disparage Raising Cane's. I've had better. I've had better.
The conversation can be interesting when you're watching a soccer game because it's not much like they're not. It's not like they're screaming goal every 10 seconds. But the conversations do get interesting.
The problem,
so they may draw you in.
I mean, the problem is the tickets are just absurd. The prices people are paying to go to these games. If you thought, I mean, they're not Knicks games 3 and 4 at Madison Square Garden, but they are expensive. So, you know, the average fan is being priced out of these games. But
yet the demand for tickets is really good, right?
Yeah.
The crowds have been great.
I'm going to spend this time catching up on all of the shows I haven't watched because I've been watching sports too much.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, what's on your list, the summer list?
I've been meaning to watch – I think it's out. I've been meaning to watch, you know, the Untold Netflix series. That was –
there's some,
know,
good ones there.
The Johnny Manziel, the Manti Te'o, and Lene Kukua and all that stuff. There's one recently on the Jailblazers. The Portland Trailblazers.
Right. I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's
one.
Good.
Yes.
You'll like it.
It's a good one, huh?
Yeah, it's a good one.
I need to watch that.
Watch Cape Fear, too.
I'm not into scary things. It sounds scary.
It wasn't really scary. I mean, it's the old – it's a series on Apple, but it's the old, you know, Robert De Niro, Cape Fear.
Mm.
So it basically,
okay. Oh, man, that was a movie that was good.
Maybe I'll follow Willie's lead and get into Euphoria.
You can watch Love Island.
Mm.
The new one.
I think I've aged out of Love Island.
I tried to. I just can't do it. I seriously tried to the other day because, like you said, it wasn't really anything going, but I just couldn't do it.
I will tell you, I am very excited for a show that is premiering on HBO in a week and a half. Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness. It's a show featuring Larry David, and it's produced by Barack and Michelle Obama. It's an improvised comedic approach to major events in American history in celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States.
That one is.
That's right up my alley.
Is it a comedy? Is it supposed to be a comedy?
If it's Larry David is involved,
it's a comedy.
It's going to be a comedy. So
comedic.
That is something I'm looking forward to.
I did go see Disclosure Day this weekend.
And how was that?
That was pretty good. I can't really say. But it was good because I can't really say. They give the movie away very quickly, which I don't like in movies. I like for it to hold on to it for a while and build up. But it was a good movie, to say the least.
My father dragged me to He-Man yesterday.
How was it? I want to go see it.
It's good. Uh-huh. It's, I mean, I didn't grow up with it like,
see, you, ain't
like
really
you two did. So
yeah.
I maybe Adam, too. I don't know. Did you watch He-Man growing up, Adam?
I did not. I never got into that.
Okay.
I am going to have my Man, I'm Old moment this weekend. When I take my 4.5-year-old son to see Toy Story 5. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I went to see Toy Story 1 in 1995 when I was the tender age of 6. So it's going to be a full circle moment when I can take my son to the movie theater.
That should be fun.
Yes.
Mortal Kombat. Did you see that, Connor?
I saw the first one.
I will not be taking my four and a half year old son to be Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. It's on Netflix. Not Netflix. It's on
HBO.
Yeah, it's on one of them now. But it just came out maybe not even a year ago.
Hmm.
Maybe 6 months ago. You know, things are out and on television. And
yes.
Just as quick as they. But I remember back in the days, Willie, you know this, where I remember when E.T. came out. And I think it was about a year before it ever came out on VHS. It may have been longer than that. Now, some go to the movies 2 months later, it's out on, you know, where you can get it at home.
Yeah. I'm ready for The Odyssey. That's the one I'm looking forward to.
I've never seen that one.
Christopher Nolan.
Do we think that, well, Christopher Nolan, that would give me a benefit of the doubt there. Is it getting good reviews?
It comes out in about a month, so we'll see. But the cast is loaded.
Mm. I also, when I see Matt Damon in like the costume from back in that era, I can only picture him as some of the comedic characters he's been. Like, he doesn't strike me as like the hero from, like,
it's Jason Bourne.
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
I mean, the trailer was awesome.
It looks good.
Odyssey,
it looks
the trailer
really good.
Was awesome.
I'm intrigued. I think I'll probably go see it, unless people just tell me, don't go, it's not worth it. I hope it's...
There's no bad Christopher Nolan movies.
I agree. That... I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt.
At least 2 hours and 30 minutes.
It'll be 3 hours.
I probably can't sit through a 3 hour movie.
Really?
No matter what? At home, yes. But not at, no, I can't do it at the theater.
Just caffeinate it up.
Yeah, I guess
so. Just get that big, big old soda and sip on it.
But then we're going to the bathroom.
Yeah, you'll pee in the middle. Yeah.
That is a dilemma. That is a big dilemma.
And this segment has been brought to you by Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
An AMC Theater.
Yes, that'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow reacting to Tennessee Titans mandatory minicamp. For the love of God, I hope Cam Ward has a good completion percentage. I really do. But we will find
take deep it. Breaths. Exactly. Even keel. Don't overreact.
Oh, well, we may not overreact, but we can't speak for our wonderful listeners out there. And just one thing, as I said before, if you're going out to dinner tonight, perhaps you're getting Mexican, just appreciate the bottomless chips and salsa. Because as our visitors have noted, it's not like that everywhere. It is a luxury. You could be defeated by a courtesy. I believe that's what the guy said. So if you're going out for Mexican, just keep that in mind. But we will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Beloved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music, don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will be back on these airways starting at 3 p.m. tomorrow, live on 102.5 The Game. And as I always say, we're going to be talking and
you're going to be listening.
Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.